Every year, I promise myself I'll find the perfect gift.
Something they'll actually use.
And love. This year, I found it. The Bartesian Cocktail Maker.
Oh, that's the one that makes cocktails at the push of a button, right?
Exactly! Over 60 bar-quality drinks, from martinis to margaritas, perfectly crafted every time.
I got one for my sister, and maybe for myself, too.
Smart. It's the season of giving and sipping.
And right now, you can save up to $150 on Bartesian Cocktail Makers.
That's a real holiday miracle.
Because the best gifts bring people together and make the holidays a little easier.
Give the gift of better cocktails this season with Bartesian. Mix over 60 premium drinks at the touch of a button. Save up to $150 on Bartesian Cocktail Makers. Don't wait. This offer ends December 2nd. Shop now at bartesian.com/drinks. That's bartesian.com/drinks.
Life gets messy. Spills, stains, and kid chaos. But with Anabe, cleaning up is easy. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you never have to stress about messes again. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Get early access to Black Friday pricing right now. Sofas start at just $699. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
The go through some emails, check your calendar, see that you have a 45-minute break in the day between meetings, realize this is your moment. So you drive right to McDonald's to pick up something extra delicious ASAP. Meal.
Thank you.
There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
Buy one of your select faves and get another for just a dollar every morning, like a sausage McMuffin or hash browns.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Combo meal valid when product served.
And welcome to episode number 58 of the LSR podcast. My name is Matt Brown, joined each and every week by the brightest minds in all of the gaming industry. Dustin Galker, Adam Candy are here with me at Dustin Galker at Adam Candy to ease no why. Guys, you can find us on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google. Please go in, subscribe, rate, and review. We do appreciate climbing up those charts. Helps more people find this here podcast. And we can talk about we can preach the gospel of legalized sports gambling and sports wagering and casino and whatnot. Here in this great country of ours, we will talk about California. We'll talk about what's going on with some stuff with Sport Radar that was pretty interesting. We'll catch up on a couple of states. And of course, we always have to talk stocks on this now because that's what we do on the LSR podcast. So we will talk a little bit about what's going on with DraftKings and that sale of that massive amount of stock. But let's kick things off here, guys, with California. This was something that, Dustin, you were saying, look, I'm not going to say it's 100% dead. I do not believe that this is going to happen. But now you can confidently climb back up on your hill, on your mountaintop, and you can scream it.
Yeah, we are officially not going to have California sports betting, at least through this legislative effort in the states. We've been talking about this for several weeks now, that there's this late effort came to try to plug a big gap in the sport, in the budget with sports betting. It ended up being too complicated to get done in short time, even with the backdrop of needing to fill in the budget. So the legislative effort is dead for now. We're looking now at possible referenda through both the tribes and possibly a commercial effort that would be led by other folks in the state who want to see it done a different way. But yeah, for now, California sports betting is dead. San Diego and the rest of the state safe from falling to the ocean from an earthquake, as I predicted would happen before California had sports betting.
Adam, we're looking here. We know California, massive amount of people, massive amount of sports teams, and every single one of the leagues. Should we maybe be looking down the road here And, you know, everybody believes that sports betting helps with engagement. Everybody believes that it's going to help with television rights deals and stuff, because the more people that are paying attention, the more that you can charge for the rights for these sports and whatnot. Is maybe the way that something gets done in California comes down through the league somehow?
It's certainly a rumbling that's out there right now, Matt. When you look at the fact that most of the professional sports teams in California signed up as a coalition on a letter promoting the bill that eventually was pulled by Senator Bill Dodd. They want it. And they now saw that there is at least some political will out there. There wasn't enough to overcome the opposition to the bill this particular time, but there is some will to do this out there. Could they potentially put the money behind something to do this on the ballot themselves next time around? Not impossible. I think we have to wait to see what happens, of course, with the tribal initiative that might be going forward, has a court date coming up to see if they're going to be able to qualify for 2022. There's an outside, very outside shot. They might still be able to get it on the ballot this year. But either way, I would definitely keep an eye on another initiative coming from whether it's the leagues or some coalition of which they're a part.
Now, Dustin, just a real quick, if people hadn't tuned in the last couple of weeks, just to give them a quick catch up here as to why were the tribes not happy with what was currently being presented there in California?
Yeah, the big deal is there's constantly infighting between them and the card rooms in the state who have table games that the tribes say operating illegally. That's kind of the crux of all of this, that the tribes basically got, along with the tracks in the state, actually got the pretty good deal for sports betting that just let them and the tracks kind of own this, and the card rooms in the state would be cut out of it. So that's out there. That's basically what scuttled this bill. You know, if you took that part of it out of it and had allowed card rooms and sports betting, you probably end up with the same resolution of the tribes wouldn't have liked the bill, because they don't like giving card rooms anything in the state, and with good reason, because they have a pretty good thing going there in California. So when you get to talking about 2022 and possible competing ballot measures, it gets really complicated. I mean, again, this bill that was in California was pretty good for the tribes, at least on sports betting. They are really not going to like whatever the leagues and any other interested parties try to put together to oppose them. So that means, in turn, that there will be a massive effort by the tribes to, in terms of advertising, to try to shoot that down and pump up their own bill. And, you know, we're talking, you know, we get to that world where we have two competing bills, and you're going to see a huge battle in the state of trying to get to which one of these bills would end up being the one getting through it. And my money would be on the tribes there. Although, you know, if the leagues, the NBA, Major League Baseball, and all the teams there are really concerted and try to get this thing going. And obviously they have a lot of money to spend too, but the tribes have done, are probably going to fight this tooth and nail. It's going to, again, they killed a bill that was not too bad for them. And so if they get to a point where there's an even worse possible outcome for them on this, that they're really going to fight that. So it feels like we're a lot farther away from sports betting in California. Although the more optimistic among us will say that we have a shot at getting something in 2022, sports betting going live in 2023, that might be the tribes measure, where it's all retail and no allocation for online, which obviously wouldn't be ideal, but it would start moving the ball down the court or down the field toward having online sports betting one day in the state.
Adam, I know different states meet at different times and different frequencies and whatever. You know, giant state like Texas only gets together every other year. What are we looking at over in California? So kind of a realistic timeline of when this, you know, if something new were to pop up, that we might see this kind of get presented.
Realistically, nothing's happening until the 2022 ballot. The legislature, of course, will meet every year, but you don't have the election to throw the ballot, to throw the measure onto the ballot until we get back another 2 years. Yeah, there's always the possibility of a supplemental ballot, but that's additional cost to the state that I don't think you're going to see. Keep in mind what happened with this bill. We saw it initially proposed as something that was going to bring mobile sports betting to California almost immediately as a means of helping the state budget, which is in a multi-million dollar hole because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Then, as an olive branch, there were amendments proposed to the bill that never actually made it to the floor before the bill was pulled, where that would have phased in mobile and you wouldn't have seen it live in any sort of significant form for 2 years. So now I think you're realistically looking at 2023 in California before any sort of large scale mobile sports betting that would generate the kind of revenue that has had people so excited about California for a long time.
Dustin, we talked a little bit about Sports Radar on the podcast here, and with Sport Radar, sometimes the news that we were bringing forth wasn't always the best. It seems that that is also the case here with this story.
Yeah, this is an interesting one involving, you know, we like talking about overseas soccer, and this involves that. The Ukrainian Association of Football is alleging that Sport Radar is collecting data from their matches without any authorization, which is a kind of a problem across sport that sometimes there's licensing for data and what's going on in games that's reserved with a single company, often Sport Radar or its major competitor, Genius Sports. And here, the UAF has said, we don't want you doing that. Please stop. They actually have an official data deal with another company called Feed Construct. But they've basically started pulling their hair out because Sport Radar keeps doing it. They keep collecting data from the games. At least they are they're alleging this. We're reporting what the UAF has told us. Great story by Brad Allen over at Legal Sports Report. And Sport Radar won't give us any comment, but you know, there's some pretty telling telling exchanges. We've been provided the email from the UAF and says, taking account of the fact that your company does not reply to our emails on such matters and continues sending scouts to Ukrainian official and unofficial football matches, we consider your behavior as a hostile act and inform you that reserve a right to institute proceedings against your company. So this has gotten pretty acrimonious. Not a great look as kind of sports betting expands, especially in the U.S. Sport Radar obviously has a large part in what's going on in the U.S. as a data provider and a partner of a lot of the leagues and sports books. So, this is the kind of thing you'd like to see cleaned up, and it's not exactly clear why Sport Radar won't listen to what's a relatively small sporting organization, but one that clearly should be listened to.
Adam, we talked about data here, a lot on the podcast because there was a bunch of that was going around in these initial kind of, bills that were getting floated about where the data comes from, should it be mandated as to where it comes from, different things like that. Do you think there will ever be, data fights over here in the States? I mean, we're still relatively new in all of this. I imagine as things start to mature, that maybe there's at least some sort of opening for there to be some skirmishes amongst data providers?
There's a possibility. I think that you're beginning this market in a much different place than what you're dealing with overseas right now. But at the same time, if you just want to talk about data, I mean, data is the frontier of fights, going forward here. Whether we're talking about the official league data mandates that the leagues are trying to get put into laws, whether we're talking about the terms of commercial mandates, or whether we're talking about this sort of thing of, unauthorized distribution of data. There aren't that many players in the field for it to become a huge fight over time. But, I think we have not seen the last of the discussions in the United States market.
We have mentioned Michigan, many more times recently here on the podcast than we had really focused on the state there, because we didn't think that there was going to be up and running mobile sports betting as early as it might look like it's going to be, Adam. While we're sitting here, and if you take a look at the article over on LSR and you see that the month that is listed, people are going to say, wait, what are you talking about? But yeah, it seems like we are kind of fast tracking this.
Matt, the interesting part about this, as talking about it as something different than what we have in the past, is that you're hearing it from the regulators themselves now. It's our article talks to someone from the Michigan Gaming Control Board, the deputy director, David Murley, and he talked to our Matt Cradell about the fact that everyone seems to be working toward getting this launched sooner rather than later, end quote. and pushing toward October, trying to get going realistically about what would be 4 weeks into an NFL season that starts on time. We, of course, have to wait to see what happens with that. But originally, we were looking at having to wait until just about the Super Bowl, if not after, in Michigan for mobile sports betting to start. As quickly as the package came together, and sort of, it was sort of the second attempt in Michigan at getting something through that it was not just sports betting, but a massive package with iGaming and some other pieces. Now we're seeing that they were going to make us wait until a year had passed. They didn't want to rush emergency rules. Now we're seeing that they might come back and be able to do this a lot quicker by getting it up by October. Of course, the pandemic, as with everywhere else, trying to get things done quicker on the mobile side because of the fact that you might not be able to have people in casinos the way that you have in the past, at least for quite a while moving forward. So, you know, for the state of Michigan, which is one of the more populous states in the nation and could be one of the more interesting markets overall, this does seem to be a positive thing that you might be looking at October as your mobile timeline.
And, you know, Dustin, when we take a look at some of these other states that we're talking about that are populous, we know big time sports going on there. We know there's a bunch of pretty huge fan base, not only in the collegiate markets, but also in the pro sports markets. Illinois always comes to the top of the list. We talk about, you know, kind of dangling the carrots out there, these states that we are monitoring very heavily as to the activities going to go on there. And Illinois kind of maybe leading the way here as far as skipping a step or two to get things going.
Yeah, we got our first online sports book to go live, Bet Rivers. This is an app that's been live in other states. It's a company that's based in, has casinos in Pennsylvania, has launched apps in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and also a couple other states, I believe Colorado, and I believe it's right live in Indiana too. Anyway, they have a casino in Illinois, the closest one to Chicago. And they became the first online sports book. So this is moving things forward, even though, again, they're launching into a world without sports. But we, as we've talked about before, the governor there made an executive order saying you can now have remote registration, which was a big sticking point in the original bill and the law as it was signed. So now you can, that one app who's open can now take remote registration. So you don't have to go to the physical casino to sign up. That means anybody in Illinois can right now get an account and could be betting again. Once sports are kind of rolling, you could have an account, not have to travel to the physical Rivers Casino. So we don't have a sense of who else is going live yet in Illinois, but given this news, people are certainly looking to get live sooner rather than later. You know, you don't want to just leave Bet Rivers out there as the only one who's acquired customers this way. So you know, I'm guessing you'll see some more sports books going live in the coming and months. We have the added part of Illinois just announced it's opening its physical casinos on July 1st, or you can open your physical casinos. So that's part of that. Again, some physical sports books opened up right before the pandemic, and in theory, some of those could be live as well soon.
You know, when we look at Illinois, also what's interesting about the market there is, you know, the executive order comes out and it's for the duration essentially of the emergency in Illinois for COVID. And, you know, it was originally thought among some folks that I talked to that this would be pretty quick, that you would see the window open and then the window shut. But when you look at the direction of COVID numbers across the country, not necessarily Illinois itself, but overall, this window might be open longer than people originally thought. And you know, the folks that I've talked to, I've tried to pose the question to everybody, do you think FanDuel or DraftKings find a way in earlier than the 18 months that it seems like they would be locked out by having to buy a $20 million license? And the consensus, without any hard information, was that if they had to bet on this, they would bet on under 18 months. So, you know, you talk about who else might get in. I would say, you know, it's likely you're going to see some of the bigger players before too long. And Rivers, by the way, looks like it might solve its one significant issue that Richard Schwartz did an interview with our friend Joe Ostrowski on Chicago radio, where he said they're about 2 to 3 weeks away from an iOS fix where you don't have to go and get a separate app and install that, do a browser-based thing for your Illinois online sports betting.
Yeah, Adam, it's funny how money can change people's opinion about things, right?
It's never happened to me personally, but yeah, I have heard that that's something out there.
Yeah, money. It's pretty pretty crazy how that works with everything.
Going back to Michigan, I mean, that's part of this should be a part of the narrative, right? Again, we've seen Pennsylvania and New Jersey roughly double just their online gambling stuff aside from sports betting. So having online casino and poker in Michigan. Moving up to have online, Illinois moving up its timetable of how you can do online. Like the whole narrative has been, oh, this hurts casinos if you have online stuff. Like this is clearly being viewed as something additive and a product that can help during a time of uncertainty when, you know, yeah, yes, casinos are reopening now, but even in Las Vegas where you guys are, we've seen, you know, people are getting a little worried. They're companies are instituting you have to have a mask inside the buildings, even with the lowered capacity. Like online gambling is, it just makes sense right now in this right. spot. Again, this does not mean that a bunch of states are going to go legalize online casino and online poker. That is not what this means. But it should be, you know, if you're another state and you're looking at these other states and how they're doing things, you should be learning something, I think, from that and not being scared of what all this means for the future and looking at it as an opportunity rather than something that's scary for your land-based business.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this before. They're like, you know, it's not one of those things where we're viewing this as like profiting off of the pandemic or anything like that. It's just really offering your constituents, offering your states, offering your people something that they should probably have been offered from the get-go anyway, right? I mean, it's not like we're saying like, oh, hey, go profit off of what's going on right now. We're just saying like, hey, we've been advocating for this online stuff the whole time anyway, and now it just happens to come out into the light even more as to why it makes sense.
Well, it's proof of concept too, Matt, right? Like for anyone who was skeptical about whether this could work, then you're seeing it work right now. And I think you're able to point to it, whether you're a state that has retail sports betting and you want to try to add mobile, or you're at a point where you're considering what to do from the ground up. I think you look at it right now and say, does it work? Are there significant problems? And you can look at it and see that it's been really a savior to gaming revenue for a lot of corners of the country.
And we all seen these viral videos of people waiting to get into the physical casinos too. Now, will that continue? I don't know, but that there's some pent up demand, and there's some of that must have gone, some of that channel must have gone online too. Like the most recent one was there's this casino in upstate Pennsylvania in the Poconos. It's pretty small, but it had a huge line of people waiting to get into it. Now obviously not every single one of those people wants to play an online casino game. They want to go to a casino, sure, but they want to gamble. And there's this demand out there that is not being met, you know, for the states that have not legalized all of these things. And, you know, Michigan will be the one that sees that next, that there's demand for this and revenue that, you know, for both for the companies that are based there and for in terms of tax revenue.
Yeah, Dustin, I think you might have to switch that to a Corona viral video for all those people who are lined up waiting to get into a casino right now, because that's probably what you're headed toward if you're standing in line to get into a casino at the moment.
I mean, I look at it like this. I'm a dude that I'm not going to go into a physical casino right now and play poker. And I know poker is like kind of like the redheaded stepchild amongst the, you know, online gaming's world right now. But I'm not going to go and sit down at a table. I understand that they're taking measures to make sure that we're okay. And you know, some places are putting up plexi between the players and they're changing out the cards often, yada, yada, yada. I'm just not in a rush to go and sit down at a table with a whole bunch of people for hours on end and breathe their air right now with the situation and the status that we're in. However, I will fire up WSOP.com when I'm sitting at home and I'm bored and there's nothing on television because there's no sports and different things like that. Like I will actually do that, you know? And so like, it is one of those things where Dustin, you keep mentioning it, but it really is just to drive it home. It's just another extension of your brand. It's just an extension of your offerings, because you would either not get my business at all, because I am not going to physically put on clothes and get in my car and drive down and go sit in a five-handed game at a casino down on the strip right now, but I will log on to your product and play from the comfort of my own home where I'm not actually breathing other people's air.
Yeah. And again, you're like right now, there's nothing, not that much to bet on. You're not like driving an hour to go sign up for a sportsbook account. But if you can do it in your underwear at home, Absolutely. Right. Why wouldn't you do that? Like, if you just want to try it out and like you're excited about, you know, Illinois sports betting, sure, great, do it. That's the beauty of all of this. And it's funny and not funny. It's sad, actually. It took a pandemic to kind of make this obvious, and it still only is obvious to people like us. This is not obvious to the world writ large. We will still have very few states who are legalizing all of this outside of sports betting, but it really should be, you know, people do think that, do look at Michigan and it's like, oh, that's the next step. And like, we said that about Pennsylvania, like everybody's going to start legalizing online casino, and Pennsylvania's done it. That didn't happen. We did have Michigan at least join the club several years later, but you do think there is at some point everybody, it starts clicking with everybody, and that these big companies, you know, MGM and Caesars, that have properties in these states and have seen the benefits of online gambling, especially in these uncertain times, you'll think maybe we'll certainly suddenly get a critical mass and we'll start seeing some more common sense about this and moving gaming online more and more.
Adam, I am wanting you to catch us up on a couple of states here. We talked about Oklahoma multiple times here in recent weeks, but Georgia as well.
You know, this was one of those Undertaker.gif moments here where it's rising from the dead when we did not expect to see it again. There had been a bill proposed over on the Senate side for sports betting in Georgia that died in March pretty quietly in committee. Never got a hearing, never went anywhere. And then the pandemic hit and shut everything down. And then Georgia ended up as another one of those states with a massive budget hole brought on by COVID-19, and that gave these bills, and I did put an S on that, bills, another chance. You have one that was the original one on the Senate side that might potentially legalize online sports betting in Georgia, get out of a Senate committee, get down to the floor earlier in the week, actually late last week, and then advanced early this week. And then on the House side, there was a bill moving through committee that is trying to put it to the ballot to ask about sports betting. That's because there are some constitutional questions in Georgia about whether you would need voter approval. The Senate bill attempts to route it through the Georgia lottery. I think that's their attempt to get around constitutional questions by essentially making it another game covered under that entity, which is already legal. On the other side, you're talking about going a more cautious route with putting it on the ballot. Now, here's the flip side to that. The end of the session in Georgia arrives tomorrow. That is Friday, as we record this right now. So you would need a lot of movement very quickly for anything to happen in Georgia. But it does portend well potentially for next year when there's a little bit more time to work on this.
Pretty interesting, because Georgia, one of those states with no forms of casino gambling whatsoever. And I actually used to live in Atlanta, and one of their favorite pastimes was like breaking up, you know, was breaking up like poker games and different things and stuff like that. So pretty interesting with Georgia there.
No doubt about it. And Senator Jones, who proposed this, talked about looking at Tennessee as a model and said that, you know, the Tennessee situation where there are no casinos there either, and it would be online only, was something they used to kind of set their bill up. Now, hopefully you don't follow the official league data mandate that Tennessee had. But you also see that the pro teams in Atlanta have been as vocal as any coalition of teams in any major market about pitching sports betting. I mean, you've had the Hawks CEO along with the Falcons out there very prominently asking for sports betting in Georgia. So that's why I think when you make your list for 2021 of states that are most likely to pass something, Georgia might be right up there.
And on the Oklahoma side of things, I mean, I know that this was so confusing to us when things first kind of broke, because it was like people coming out and saying, oh, no, we can do this. And then people coming out and saying, no, you can't do that. And the back and forth here. Why are we still talking about what's going on in Oklahoma?
The snarky part of me wants to just say good question. But, you know, realistically, because we are about to see this situation go to the Oklahoma Supreme Court. So if you haven't been following this Oklahoma situation, Governor Kevin Stitt included what was called event wagering, essentially sports betting, in the compacts of two tribes that were getting theirs reset for future years. Now, these two tribes were not operating, you know, under the same auspices as the rest of the tribes in Oklahoma. In fact, when this was put through, when the compact was originally signed by the tribes and the governor, these tribes were sanctioned by the Tribal Gaming Association in Oklahoma. So, you know, this was something that was kind of a rogue situation in the first place, because you then immediately had the attorney general in the state saying, yeah, the governor doesn't have the authority to put something that's illegal under Oklahoma law into compacts. That brought up questions for us about New Mexico, where you said, well, New Mexico put, you know, essentially has it where it's an allowed class three game in the compact. The difference between New Mexico and Oklahoma is there is no law in New Mexico specifically outlawing this form of gambling the way that there is in Oklahoma. Now, the compacts were sent to the Department of the Interior, as they always are, for review. They had 45 days to review it, and the Department of Interior federally said, yeah, we're good, and didn't actually say yes or no. They basically bounced the compacts right back to the state without a rejection. And so the governor was celebrating this as, hey, sports betting could become legal. So we tried to contact the tribes about that. We didn't hear anything back as yet, but this is still going on the Supreme Court side, which is what you're talking about with the news peg here, where the Supreme Court is going to hear the complaint from the leaders of both houses of the legislature, and the attorney general is involved in this as well, basically trying to figure out if the governor has the authority to do this. So that's what's up next in Oklahoma. I think at best you're looking at a couple of tribal sports books in person in Oklahoma being able to offer sports betting if everything goes right. And, you know, in the state of Oklahoma, with the rabid college base that they have there, that could be something that's at least interesting nominally.
At least we have things to look forward to here as far as, you know, states that we will be monitoring as we come to the close of 2020 into 2021, some pretty interesting developments. And of course, everything over at LegalSportsReport.com on all of those happenings. Dustin, it would not be an LSR podcast of the pandemic without us talking about stocks and having to talk about DraftKings stocks in particular. Story that we talked about a little bit last week has actually come to fruition here, and DraftKings has raised a bunch of money.
We're spinning off Legal Stock Report. We'll look for that soon. Right. But yeah, DraftKings sold more than 40 million shares, I guess 46 million. The company raised a bunch of money from this, more than half a billion. Some of the founders and existing employees cashed out some of them out of the money. As you know, the stock has just has really blossomed since it went through the reverse merger and went public. You know, trading from the low teens to upwards of 40 at one point. You can get it at right now at the low price of $36, which is well off its high from well above 40 not too long ago. So again, the DraftKings stock phenomenon is a fascinating one to me. People, it gets media hits like regularly. Jim Cramer was talking about it. You know, it's just the topic du jour. I think there is definitely this phenomenon of people who aren't betting a ton on sports or who are moving onto stocks. And if you can invest in a gambling stock, then that is the thing. So anyway, DraftKings, the stock is complete. They have a bigger war chest again from the sale of stock, and you know, so it took a bunch of the old employees who've been there for a while, took some profits out. So good for them as well.
Adam, side note, LegalStockReport.com, available on GoDaddy, $1 a month for the first year. So, I mean, for 12 bucks, we can at least hold on to that puppy for a year.
I will happily give Danica Patrick $12 of my money to get that.
Yeah, Legal Stock Report. We're going to, I'm going to buy it when we get off the podcast here.
I kind of want to do that as a side project, honestly. Let's do it.
I mean, you know what? Yeah. No. Hold on. If you're going to do a side project, we need to get those shirts. We need to get the hashtag integrity fees and weaponized data shirts.
I'm so lazy.
Really
so
going lazy. Like fully printed up and shipped out. And for the people are demanding this.
And then we'll also make a We Love Stonks, and then we'll put that. Yeah, we'll put We Love Stonks, and that'll live on LegalStockReport.com.
Are you good at Etsy or something, Matt? I need like an Etsy account because I need some.
I'm sure Matt
is
great at Etsy. Like, yeah.
No, I am not. I am the least artistic person you've ever met. Like, my stick figures have scoliosis. Like, it's impossible. I cannot. Like, I'm horrible at it. So
no, I mean, I need the e-commerce part to get back to that. And DraftKings stock shirts.
You know, Dustin, I'm not going to call the person out by name, but someone who was once involved in this podcast has a little side e-commerce business. You might want to talk to him. Going there. Yeah, the interesting part, Matt, to add to what Dustin was talking about with that upsized DraftKings stonk offering, was that it was originally supposed to be 33 million shares, 14 million new shares, and 19 million, as they call it, redistributed. So, you know, board of directors and some executives selling that other 19 million shares. Essentially, there was such interest in this that it was bumped up to 40 million a few days after it was initially put out there, 2 million more new shares and the rest redistributed, with this option to exercise an over-allotment. And without getting into boring details that I only know a little bit about, essentially, there were 6 million additional shares sold by those current stockholders. So it went from 33 million to 46 million being sold within a week. DraftKings ended up raising $620 million, putting it in a cash on hand situation that, you know, at least is going to make it competitive with Flutter for FanDuel and FoxBet here going forward over this very important 2020 NFL and beyond season.
And while we're bringing up Flutter here, again, we are not stock advisors. We do not recommend buying or selling or any kind of anything about stock here. But it is interesting to keep up with these things, especially with these companies as they become bigger and bigger behemoths in the market here. Interesting article over at LSR right now talking about DraftKings kind of versus Flutter stock.
Oh yeah, we've said this before. Like, if you're making a U.S. investment, FanDuel is clearly number one right now. They have the best of the markets. Doesn't mean it's always going to be like that, but you know, they do have more of the share of handle across the markets that have online betting. So we talked to a research firm that looked at Flutter and's like, this is a better deal than DraftKings. It's not a pure US play, which is what some people are looking for, that Flutter has a lot of international operations and gaming. But if you're looking to invest in US, like FanDuel and FoxBet Stars Group, like that's a compelling argument. And it is weird for us to sit here again, not as stock analysts, but you know, stock analysts isn't always exactly what makes sense in a rational world from what's going on. But you look at it, FanDuel is in the better position. FanDuel, Flutter, Stars Group, FoxBet, and all the US brands they have. This is a better bet right now if you're going to bet on a single company to own the US market. Well, DraftKings take that away from them? Sure. Can they all remain a strong number two and only expose the US? Absolutely. But it is interesting that Flutter has not seen the kind of huge bump as DraftKings has. Again, this is more DraftKings being listed on its own, being listed at NASDAQ. The world we're in today, where people are looking at this and people are just enamored with DraftKings and what's going on. So interesting read. Again, we're not saying go buy Flutter, but it is right now in the position in the U.S. as we usually say, FanDuel Flutter is number one best.
And Adam, you know, this is we should say that this is our article is based off of some recommendation or basically a report put out by a research firm that was basically just, taking a look at everything as its entirety. Right. I mean, like, I think that kind of like Dustin mentioned, there's a lot of hype around DraftKings because it is, you know, American. It is the number one leader in DFS. And so everybody was very familiar with the brand through all of that commercial blitz that happened a few years ago and different things like that. Maybe FanDuel kind of fell out a little bit, as far as those people who don't know the, you know, nuts and bolts of the company. We certainly do. And that's our job to know that, but a lot of people don't. So I think what they were trying to say here is when you take a step back and you kind of look at everything in its entirety, it's a pretty robust company that Flutter's kind of trotting out.
Yeah, to further that point, Redburn is the global equity research firm that put out this report, and they listed four different points as to why they make their case for Flutter. They talk about the deeper pockets for the company because, of course, Flutter is a more diversified offering overall. They brought up some questions about the merger with SB Tech. They brought up some questions, about SB Tech. If you remember going back to right before everything was closed for the merger, that SB Tech had some outage issues, and also the fact that it might take a while to get everything truly vertically integrated for DraftKings and SB Tech. We know, of course, the DraftKings is still working with Kambi, and that'll probably continue through close to the end of the year. That was at least the initial projection for getting everything set up as one vertically integrated company for DraftKings and SB Tech. So, it is something that was one report that I should say one bit of research that was out there. You want to find out more, you can go to LegalSportsReport.com, see that article by Brad Allen. It's just a healthy discussion I think you can have. But go back also to what Nigel Eccles talked about in his Q&A with us a few weeks ago. He sees it as a duopoly, right? He sees it as FanDuel and DraftKings, DraftKings and FanDuel, whichever way you want to put it. You're looking at companies that essentially own 2/3 of the U.S. market share right now, and it's going to be a challenge for anyone to break that hold, at least in the short term. You have no idea what's going to happen, more than 12 to 24 months out.
Absolutely. We keep bringing this stuff up, but I mean, as we've alluded to time and time again, I mean, this is national news here. This isn't even just in our bubble here. This is things that we're seeing on articles being written on just general websites. We're seeing it making into TV and things like that. So certainly something we are interested in because it is in our bubble, but this is something nationally that people are paying attention to. I was in California over the weekend with some buddies, and one of his brothers actually was talking about how he had bought a bunch of DraftKings on the Robinhood app, right? And like, he had never bought stock before in his whole life, and he had bought a bunch of DraftKings stock on the Robinhood app because he heard that DraftKings was offering stock to people. And so like, if that gives you any kind of indication as to who may or may not be really kind of leading this charge here on the DraftKings stock stuff, is people maybe, as you kind of alluded to, Dustin, that maybe have never even done it before in their whole lives, but were just familiar with the brand in general.
Yeah, I have a similar story where one of our employees, their son apparently invested a bunch in DraftKings, and she was like, should I be worried about this? I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's kind of crazy right now, but it's right. that is what is happening out there. And just to put a punctuation mark on all of this, these are also not just, we talk about them as sports betting companies. They are now far more than just sports betting companies.
Right.
They're online casino companies as well. This is underscored by the fact that DraftKings released a standalone online casino app in New Jersey. FanDuel did its standalone casino app in Pennsylvania. These happened simultaneously this week. And this there's more money in that in the states that they open in. And DraftKings and FanDuel have both done very well in this part this as well, expanding their offering and not having it just be a little bit of their sportsbook app, that should help things. And part of the play here is the larger online gaming world that's out there and market that's available in the United States. They'll both be in Michigan as well. So you're looking at these companies as you think they can compete and should compete with the bigger casino companies, because they are these are online first companies, and they have they've already seen success in some markets, and they're going to continue to see that. So,
yeah, and that story again, full over at LegalSportsReport.com. Be sure and check that out. That and everything that we talked about here on the podcast today, guys. Go and follow Dustin and Adam on the Twitter machine at Dustin Gawker, at Adam Candy. That is 2 E's, no Y. If you want to follow me, I don't know why, at Matt Brown M2. Subscribe, rate, and review on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google. Really do appreciate all those. Helps us climb up the charts over there. We'll have some pretty interesting news. Some more sports books going to be launching in Colorado next week. I'm sure we'll touch on that, maybe even have some other follow-ups to the things that we talked about here today. For Matt, Dustin. Yes,
Matt, before you sign off, you forgot to give people your Etsy shop.
It's legalstockreport.com, which I'm about to own. Yes. It's right there for it's. I might even get your stock report and stock report online. I see that they are all available. So just scoop it all up there. For Dustin, for Adam, I'm Matt. Talk to you guys next week.
The go through some emails, check your calendar, see that you have a 45-minute break in the day between meetings, realize this is your moment, so you drive right to McDonald's to pick up something extra delicious ASAP. Meal.
Thank you.
There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
Buy one of your select faves and get another for just a dollar every morning, like a sausage McMuffin or hash browns.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Combo meal valid when product served.